episode 147.
Late Night Internet Marketing.
This week in the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast, we talk about what I see as the changing landscape for keyword research tools and what that means for you as an affiliate marketer. All this and more on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
The Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
You've been working for somebody else, but you want a business to run yourself. You want to know how to start and where to begin. Can you get out your comfort zone, my friend? Yes, you can do it right when it's late at night. At the end of the day, your dreams burning inside. So keep it up and you will find that you're building your business one night at a time.
And now, broadcasting late at night from a little studio in the big state of Texas, your host, Mark Mason.
Hey, hey, how is everyone doing? I am on island time, which is awesome. As you probably can see, the podcast is a few days late, which is the first time this has happened since summer of 2016. Not missing an episode, mind you, because I'm never going to do that again. But the episode's a few days late because I got down to Key West, or Key Largo, really, and everything was just so chill. I was on island time, and man, let me tell you, it was absolutely fantastic. It was just laid back. The local people are just totally chilled out. There's not an enormous amount of tourism there. It's just kind of, you know, it's island time. It's stuff that Jimmy Buffett sings about. And it was just great. We spent a few days there. We swam with dolphins at one of these dolphin research and rescue centers. We went down to Key West and stood at that, you know, that famous point in the United States, which is the southernmost point in the United States, at which time you're 30 miles or actually, I guess, 90 miles away from Cuba. That was super cool. And we just did that kind of stuff. I ate a lot of grilled seafood, which is great. And I actually, amazingly, got on the scale. There was no scale in our condo down there. I got on the scale when I got back, and I had actually lost half a pound during my trip. So that was cool because I just didn't eat a lot of junk when I was down there. I ate grilled fish and vegetables, and that worked out really well for me. It was a super cool vacation. Highly recommend Key West and Key Largo if you're into scuba diving and just kind of the marine boating scene down there. Fishing is great down there. Super neat. I hope we get a chance to go back before too long. I got some great stuff for you today that I want to talk about, and it's a couple of things that have come out of the Facebook fan page. So without further ado, let's handle a little listener feedback.
Hear what listeners just like you are thinking.
Late night listener feedback.
So the first piece of great feedback I got that really made me smile, and it made me smile because it's something that I think we all deal with. I certainly deal with it, was from Lorian Green from Maine, who has, by the way, she has the coolest Facebook profile. So you guys would know this if you were in the Late Night Internet Marketing Facebook fan group over at latenightim.com/FB group. She has the coolest profile picture, you know, the big banner that goes up at the top of your personal page. She has this amazing picture of the original Star Trek series group, you know, Kirk and Spock and Uhura and that bunch. As a rock and roll band with Kirk on lead guitar and Uhura's got a microphone. It's really awesome. So you got to check that out. But in order to see that, you got to come to the Facebook fan page and check it out. So she says, "Ooh, called out by my own son, quote, Mom, stop listening to podcasts about growing your business and freaking make the business." Now, you know, she says, and despite his admonishment, We kept dancing to the late night internet marketing theme song, which I really appreciate that. I love that theme song. And for those of you that aren't in the Facebook fan group, the guy who wrote that is actually a very famous guy named Jeff Smith. And Jeff Smith plays in a piano bar down in Nashville. And Cliff was down there not too long ago. And I may have mentioned this before. There's a video of him in the group playing, not the late night internet theme song, but playing Piano Man, Billy Joel, in that bar. But he's a super talented guy. I get still to this day, all the time, get comments about the theme song. But Lorian raises this awesome point, which is, hey, at some point, you've got to stop learning stuff and start doing stuff. Now, actually, that's not true. I don't think you should ever stop learning stuff. I think lifetime learning is one of the advantages that you can give yourself, but you've got to create a balance. And I think the way that you create the balance is something that was explained to me by Jeremy Franzen over at Internet Business Mastery, now going on 7, 8 years ago. He taught this concept of just-in-time learning. And it's this idea that you've got a next most critical thing that you've got to accomplish, whether that's getting your website up or getting your opt-in page configured or writing an autoresponder sequence or finding a product to market or getting your Amazon affiliate thing set up or finding a drop shipping relationship or whatever it is that you need to do. There's something that is the most important thing that you need to be doing next. The first thing is you need to know what that is. You need to absolutely understand what the 10 steps are to get where you want to be and what the next very most important thing is. And here's the trick. You need to limit your learning to the thing that you need to know most. So if there's a podcast episode about webinars and you aren't at the point where you're ready for your webinar yet because you haven't finished your product, and you haven't finished your product because you haven't selected your niche, then your most important thing is to decide what your niche is. And then after that, define the product, right? It has nothing to do. Your most important thing can't possibly be the webinar. So you should probably set that learning aside and wait until it's time for that. There's no reason you can't throw that in Evernote into a file called webinars and look at that when it's time to build the webinars. And don't feel bad. We're all guilty of this. We all get sucked in to this situation where we're just constantly in learning mode and we don't take any action. And usually the reasons that we don't take the action that we need to be taking is we're interested in the content. It's much easier to sit back passively and learn than it is to actively go do stuff. There's probably some procrastination in there that, that's real work and we want to avoid that in some cases. And maybe we have a little fear that's actually driving that procrastination. These are all topics that we've talked about before, but that can be combated by this idea of just-in-time learning. You work on the next thing, which is a GTD, a getting things done, David Allen sort of idea. You figure out what the next most important thing is that you need to do and limit your learning to what it is that you need to do next. If there's a great article on something you don't need to do yet, like maybe how to target your Facebook ads, just set that aside from now. We'll worry about that later. Now, specifically for podcasts, what I recommended to Lorian, which is a perfect thing for podcasts, is to limit your listening to podcasts to times when that's all you can do. That's what a lot of us do. And it turns out Lorian has a big, huge commute every day, so she listens to a lot of podcasts. But super cool, highly recommended that you focus and limit your learning to the stuff that you need to do next. That will help you be more efficient in your internet business.
It's time to get to work building your internet business. One night at a time. One night
at a time. All right, so the next cool piece of feedback that I got out of the Facebook fan group that I wanted to address today was feedback from James Hackney, who posts that in one of my older podcasts, I mentioned a couple of tools that I recommended at the time, Article Builder and Keyword Canine. But when he searches Google, all the stuff that he finds out there, probably from me and from others, is just links that are really, really old. And, you know, what are the modern equivalents of these things? Keyword canine, in fact, is gone. And article builder is still there, but I haven't evaluated it or used it in years. So I'm not even sure what the status of that is. And this is, just in full disclosure, this is a problem that I have on my blog that I've been trying to work through. And I've made some progress, but obviously I haven't gotten to all of this. It's periodically, I recommend products on the blog, and those recommendations are always things that I genuinely believe are the thing you should be looking at. And the problem is those recommendations die after a time because the things change. The market changes. I'll give you a great example. 5 or 7 years ago, I made great recommendations for tools that you could and should use for article marketing. Because at the time, there was an SEO technique called article marketing, where you wrote an article and published it to hundreds of article directories across the internet, the exact same content. And Google's algorithm wasn't very sophisticated. And as a result, those backlinks would cause your pages to rank, and you could get amazing results with that. And that was an amazing recommendation. In fact, around this time, Pat Flynn was doing the same thing. And that's one of the ways that he was able to get his security guard training website, for those of you that are familiar with that story, to rank so quickly, was through article marketing. The problem is that's not a natural ranking phenomenon. Google understood quite well that that was being manipulated. And so they devalued all of these article directories and really kind of put that whole thing out of business. These article directories, essentially that kind of commerce is gone now. And so the problem is, for a guy like me, what I should be doing is going back and cleaning up those posts, but there are hundreds and hundreds of posts on my blog that deal with stuff like that. So I've been working on getting that cleaned up, and keyword tools are no exception. With regard to keyword tools, the latest and greatest keyword tool that I was using for a very long time was called Keyword Canine. And Keyword Canine is a keyword research tool that was created by a guy who lives right here in the Dallas area, Jonathan Leger, and he has been creating internet marketing software and solutions for a decade. And, you know, he's a great guy and does amazing products. That tool has morphed into something new called Keyword Titan. And you can find Keyword Titan at latenightim.com/Titan. It still works for people who were using Keyword Canine at the time. To my knowledge, at the time of this recording, it's not currently for sale. I'm not exactly sure what the deal is with Keyword Titan, because I haven't talked to John about it in quite a while. But Keyword Titan is a cool tool if you've got access to it. If you don't, the other tool that's still out there is a tool called Longtail Pro. And a lot of people use this tool. It's a tool that was originally created by Spencer Hawes over at Niche Pursuits. Spencer sold it. Some new guys have taken it over, and they're slowly but surely making it better and better. That's a pretty decent tool, and I think it's worth what it costs. If I were going to recommend what I'd call a traditional keyword tool, more on that in a minute, today I would recommend Longtail Pro. That's what I use when I need a traditional keyword tool. The idea of a keyword tool is the following. What these keyword tools usually do is that they go and they look at a keyword. Like, let's say you want to find out how to rank for blue suede shoes. You put in blue suede shoes in the keyword tool, and it will look at the websites that are ranking on the first page of Google for blue suede shoes. And it will analyze those websites. It will look at the on-page SEO optimization of those sites. Do those sites each use blue suede shoes in their title tag and on the page? And they'll also look at the off-page optimization. What is the authority of the sites that those pages are coming from? What's their backlink profile and so forth? And they do this in sort of a one-at-a-time sort of page-by-page sort of way. And they can be relatively slow, and or they cache the data, and the data may or may not be in date, but they work. And so you can do that, and usually you have a quota for how many keywords you can analyze, and the better tools will have a keyword discovery mode where you put in a keyword like blue suede shoes, and it'll tell you about the related keywords that you might want to target in the content that you create. So for example, if you put in blue suede shoes, it may come back and tell you that light blue suede shoes are a heavily sought after keyword. And one of the cool things about these keyword tools, at least in theory, is that they can give you some sense of how hard it will be for you to rank for these keywords and what that ranking would be worth. It can estimate the traffic, the AdWords value of that traffic, which is some sense of how much it would profit you to own the first page ranking, a first page ranking for that keyword. And it can also kind of tell you about the competition, how hard it would be to rank and so forth. And so these are very cool tools. And again, for most of this type of work, I use Longtail Pro. There are a couple of problems that have cropped up in the last 5 years. And one of the big problems is the ability for Google, or the willingness of Google to share information with these tools, has become more and more limited. So the Google AdWords keyword tool, which is a free tool that you can use to do keyword research, it has become more and more limited and more restrictive in what it will give to searchers and how many queries it will allow and when it starts throwing CAPTCHA and all this sort of thing. And so the ability for these keyword tools to rely on the Google AdWords keyword tool for seeding and for other kinds of information has been limited. And so in my view, at least, the value and importance of these keyword tools has changed because of that. I think the kind of data that they can get access to for some of the stuff that they estimate, like search volume and so forth, is limited and a little bit suspect. I think the other thing is the way that Google decides about ranking pages has changed quite a bit. It's become, because of artificial intelligence and other things like Rank Brain that Google has added into the algorithm, it's become harder, at least in my view, for these websites to accurately reflect the kinds of things that are causing a page to rank so that they can give a score. And they can say, well, you can easily rank for this or you can't. I think it's so complicated that oftentimes that's not going to be a really accurate representation. And I've seen in many cases where keyword tools give these kind of one-size-fits-all rankings for the difficulty to rank a page, I don't really necessarily agree with the answers that they get, or the answers that they get aren't consistent with my experience in trying to actually rank for the keyword. So what's changed in the keyword market, in my point of view, is that these tools that analyze backlinks, like Ahrefs, which is one of my favorite tools, you can find that at latenightim.com/Ahrefs, Ahrefs. Those kind of tools work sort of backwards. They just crawl the entire internet, just like Google does, and they count up all the backlinks, just like Google does, and they assign authority scores to all of the pages that they index. You know, the kinds of data that a tool like Ahrefs is working with is very impressive. They've indexed literally billions of web pages. I think at last count it was 6 billion web pages and 12 trillion links or something like that. Over 200 million root domains. All of that data is stored in a database of like 20 petabytes. It's the last infographic I saw about Ahrefs. So they've got this massive database. And in some cases, to their credit, these kind of old school keyword tools that I was talking about are renting this kind of data from Ahrefs or SEO Moz. But for my money now, what I've seen is that tools like Ahrefs are starting to add their own keyword tools into this backlink discovery tool. So for example, if you go to Ahrefs and you click on Keyword Explorer and type in blue suede shoes, it comes back with 1,900 keywords that it feels like are related to blue suede shoes. And in every case, it tries to compute a keyword difficulty. It also tells you the volume for these keywords and what people are paying for in terms of cost per click for ads against that keyword, which gives you a good idea of sort of what that keyword is worth. And it turns out that, you know, 16,000 people a month are searching for blue suede shoes. Now, a little lesson, what are they searching for? Are they searching to buy blue suede shoes? Probably not. They're probably searching for the lyrics to the song that Elvis made famous called Blue Suede Shoes. That aside, you can look at what sites are ranking for Blue Suede Shoes, and this tool, Ahrefs, can allow you to dig in very deeply to what the backlink profile is for those pages and those sites that are ranking. So a tool like Ahrefs, which has already indexed 6 billion pages, it can come back and tell me that, yes, in fact, there are 1,900 related keywords that you can sift through. And it also gives me an estimate of the search volume of these keywords. And so the first thing I want to know is, what are the possible keywords? This tool gives me a great list of those. And so that's checkbox number one. Some of the traditional keyword tools are going to rely on the Google AdWords keyword tool for that. And that's going to give you a lot shorter list. Like, instead of 1,900, it may give you 19. And so, you know, that's one thing that I really like about Ahrefs as opposed to a traditional keyword tool like Longtail Pro. The other thing that I really like about this is, once I get down to that point and I decide that I want to try and rank for a keyword, I want to know about the competition. And that is what this tool was originally designed to do. Ahrefs and SEO Moz and other tools like it were designed to analyze the competition, a particular site. So when you see your competitor has a page ranking in the number two spot for a keyword that you want to rank for, the question you should be asking is, what is it about their page that is causing them to rank? And there is no better tool, in my opinion, than Ahrefs to go figure out exactly what the reason is for that ranking. You can see their backlink profile, what kind of links they're getting, where exactly those links are coming from, and so forth. And in many cases, you can do the reverse engineering and go get those same links yourself. You can discover places where they got their links and go get your links, in many cases, in the same place or similar ways. Until your backlink profile and other optimizations are equivalent to these other sites or even better, that's how you should attack the SERPs. And so I love this all-in-one approach. It used to be, in the old days, I think that we would use these old-school keyword tools like Longtail Pro and Market Samurai and Keyword Canine to some extent to identify the keywords. And then we'd use a tool like SEO Moz or Ahrefs to analyze the competition and find out exactly how to go beat it. And what's happened is these latter tools like Ahrefs have added enough keyword functionality in where, for at least for my money, I only need one tool now. And so that's sort of where I am with this sort of keyword research today. So my recommendation for keyword research tools is at this moment is Ahrefs. I like it. And I like the people there. I like the informational content that they put out. We've talked about that some in shows past. And I like the things that you can do with this sort of tool. I also like the fact that they have a free trial available. So if you're interested in that, you can go to latenightim.com/Ahrefs and you can sign up for the free trial and try it for a couple of days. And I recommend that you use the heck out of it for 14 days or whatever the free trial is so that you can get a sense of what it is that's available. There's a ton of capabilities inside this tool and that I think you'll find very interesting. So that's my recommendation and my answer to this question from James. James, I hope that helps you. The only downside to this tool, Ahrefs, is it is a little bit on the expensive side. And so another way that I answer this question is, if you're looking for my recommendation for the best all-in-one tool, my recommendation is Ahrefs. If you want something that's a little less expensive, a little more beginner-friendly, Longtail Pro, I think, could be the answer for you. And so those are my two answers. I hope that helps you. And James, I hope that helps you make a choice. Okay, so that's my laid-back island time broadcast for today from the little studio in Dallas. I hope you have a fantastic week. I'll be getting seriously into it. My goal for this month with regard to drop shipping is to crank that thing up into a profitability zone. You know, right now I've done a lot of revenue, but not a lot of profit. So now I have some targeting capability based on the fact that I've moved some merchandise. So I'm going to try and use that and target lookalike audiences on Facebook that will help me increase the profitability of that store into something that's interesting and worth doing. We're not quite there yet. So more on that next week, I hope, or maybe later in July. Also, we're going to try and get Brady Cole on the show. You know, he was talking about in the Facebook fan group, he's parlayed his niche blog into a professional writing gig. We're going to talk about that a little bit on a future show, I hope, if we can get him to agree to come on the show and talk a little bit about kind of all the different kinds of opportunities that can come from blogging. I know lots of examples of people that started a blog and then they pivoted and went in a different direction or diversified their income, as Brady is doing. And that's can be a really cool thing. And so I think Brady's story will inspire you. We'll try to get that going. In the meantime, if you'd like to hear what's going on with me and Brady and the rest of the group, come on over to latenightim.com/FB group and we'll chat about everything in there. Until next time, see you soon.
You can do it right when it's late at night.
You've been listening to the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
Be sure to visit latenightpodcast.com today to leave feedback for Mark. Download special bonus content, access the show notes, and more. See you there.
Until then, go and make some great progress on your internet business. One night at a time.
One night at a time.
Okay, so had some very cool times down in Key West and down in Florida and in Key Largo. We actually stayed in Key Largo at kind of a, not Airbnb, but a VBRO kind of place. You know, basically the idea is someone's got a condominium and they're paying for most of it by renting it out when they're not using it, which is a super cool business model. I've always kind of wanted to do that. And so we had a great time. Now, the Keys are not beach places, really. I mean, there are beaches there. Most of them are man-made. It's very coral reefy. There's a lot of snorkeling and scuba diving. In my view, it's more targeted at adults than kids, so I don't know that we'll take the kids back there, but I thought it was fantastic. I'm a scuba diver. I didn't get to dive on this trip, but I could definitely see doing some diving down there. We did go out to the reef and check that out in a glass-bottom boat, which the kids absolutely loved. They got to swim with dolphins, which was really cool. Morgan, who's 7, got to kiss a dolphin. She thinks she's a real mermaid now, so that was super neat. Really enjoyed that. And so definitely recommend Key Largo and Key West. It's super easy to fly into Miami, rent a car, and be down in Key Largo in an hour or two. And so that's lots of fun. Highly recommended, and I will talk to you guys next week.
Late Night Internet
Hey, it's Mark again. I wanted to tell you one more time about this absolutely free resource that I have for helping people who are trying to get the big picture for internet marketing actually get started and understand what all their choices are. If that's not you, there's no more content. You can skip to the end. But if you're someone who came to this podcast because you're searching for how to get started online and you just can't cut through all the noise, I get it. That was me. In 2007, when I was trying to get started, there were so many people throwing offers at me that I really couldn't even understand what all the different business models were. I couldn't understand how money moved around on the internet, and I couldn't really get a grip on what direction I wanted to go in so I could figure out how to move forward. I've created a free video resource for you just for that purpose at latenightim.com/explain. In several short videos, I just explained to you what internet marketing is all about and what online business is all about and the different options that you have for starting an online business. There's nothing to buy there. You just sign up for access and you get the videos just like that. So if that's interesting to you, or if you know someone who's in the same situation, send them that link, latenightim.com/explain. And let me know what you think. I'd love to hear what people are thinking that are in the exact same position that I was in more than a decade ago in 2007. In some ways, it seems like yesterday. And in some ways, it seems like an entire lifetime ago. Again, that's latenightim.com/explain.
Late night internet.